Good morning, church. We're so glad that you've joined us for worship today. Last week, we began a brand new sermon series called 2021. And last week, Pastor Kaden and I, we both made the analogy that right now the church is a little bit like the people of Israelites. After they've left the Red Sea, they've entered into the wilderness, a time of uncertainty, a place of uncertainty. You see, the church, we know what the mission is. We know where God has called us to be, but as of now, we don't know how to get there. As of now, we don't even know where the next step is or when the next step is. And today, I wonder if this is the case for some of us worshiping today. That you've entered into a time of uncertainty. You're not sure where to take the next step or when to take the next step. Maybe in areas of your career, your faith, your relationship, your education. If that's you today, I'm going to invite you to sing these songs and use this as a tool to remind yourself of the things that you're certain about in the midst of uncertainty. Because you see, praise and worship, what it does is it reminds us of the things that we're certain about in the midst of uncertainty. We're certain of who God is. That God is good, that He's dependable, and that He's faithful. And we're sure of what God's purpose is for us. We're certain of that. So at this moment, I'm going to invite you to stand in your home. And I'm going to invite you to use these three worship songs that we've prepared as sort of like battle songs, like marching songs. Like imagine singing these songs as you're going into the wilderness, taking a step at a time and reminding yourself of the things that you're certain of in the midst of uncertainty.
From the start. darkness, you will lead us, and forever we will sing. You're the Lord our God, and forever we will sing. You're the Lord our God, and forever we will sing. You're the Lord our God.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you.
Declare it together.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are.
Stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. darkness. My God, that is who you are.
I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, and I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in the darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. When my life lay down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Of the goodness of God, and I will sing of the goodness of God, and I will sing of the goodness of God,
and I will sing of the goodness of God, and I will sing of the goodness.
God,
you are good,
you're good,
God, I bless this church to be a church of praise and worship. I bless this church to be a church that prays and worship even through the darkest times, even through the wilderness, even through times of uncertainty, that we will be a church of praise and worship. And I bless my brothers and sisters as they continue to engage themselves in praise and worship. Those certain truths is going to penetrate through that darkness. Those certain truths of who God is going to penetrate through that wilderness, through that fog of darkness, straight into their hearts. So that regardless of the circumstance, regardless of they're in the wilderness, they're in the valley of death, they're in darkness, they can still say with confidence and with faith that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So God, we entrust ourselves into your hands, into your loving hands, and we entrust this church and the future of this church into your faithfulness. May you continue to guide us as you always have been. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, please be seated.
If I ask you what the year 2020 has been like for you, I think most of you would give me a whole bunch of different answers. But you will probably agree with me that it has been a year full of numbers. I mean, when was the last time you have spent most of the time looking at different numbers and metrics literally every day? In my lifetime, I cannot recall one year where there are so many numbers being published every day. Now, I'm not just talking about how many pounds you have gained since the lockdown, with all the lack of exercise and all the constant eating and munching. But all kidding aside, I mean, let's face it. Every day, you've been looking at the numbers of new COVID cases that are happening to your community and to your world and to your country. The number of hospitalizations and number of people who end up in the ICU. And of course, the most devastating number of all, the number of people who have died from this pandemic. Just 2 weeks ago, the number of people who have died from COVID-19 have surpassed the 1 million mark and is still rising. And there are numbers about the economy. Even people who do not usually pay attention to economic news are bombarded with numbers like the unemployment rate, the number of people who is on EI, SERP, not to mention our record-breaking budget deficits. And also all the total number of local business and restaurant that have closed since the beginning of this pandemic. Numbers and metrics are very helpful because it helps us to gauge how we are doing in the middle of this crazy pandemic. But there's one metric that we have not heard too much about, and yes, it is just as important as our physical health. And that is our emotional health. And for those of us who are Christians, our spiritual health. I mean, how do we measure spiritual health in a pandemic when we don't see each other every week? As most churches shift to online worship, church attendance in the form of numbers viewings on YouTube has become the new metrics or measure of the Christian spiritual health. Let me share a rather tragic metric about Christians with you. Barna Research conducted a study earlier this year, and they found that almost 1 in 3 practicing Christians has stopped attending church altogether. Now think about that for a moment. Almost 1 in 3 practicing Christians have stopped attending church altogether, whether that is in person or online service. But the even more alarming news, perhaps, is the same research that showed that the younger the Christian, the more likely the person was to have dropped out. And that could be your friends, your siblings, or your children. For example, among the millennials, those who are aged between 26 to 40 years old, the number of Christians who didn't even bother to attend online church went up from 33% all the way to 50%. So let me ask you this question. How are you doing lately as a Christian? Are you at risk? Are you vulnerable to become one of these statistics of Christians who have left the church or are thinking about leaving the church? Now, there's no doubt, across the board, churches of all sizes were reporting a decline in their online attendance. Churches are currently definitely in a very challenging times. Our pastoral team is very concerned with this trend in churches, and in particular, they are very concerned about how you are doing as a Christian. And that's why we are continuing today with the second sermon of our sermon series, Fight On. In this series, we have been looking at 2 Timothy in the New Testament. It is a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to his young apprentice, Timothy, in a times when the early church was facing some very challenging times. And last week, Pastor Carson told us that Timothy, also just like so many of us, was facing some very tough challenges in his life. And there was trouble brewing in the Ephesian church. His leadership was being challenged and tested by false teachers. Timothy apparently faced people or his own congregation who refused to take him seriously because of his young age. Timothy felt alone and lost, perhaps much like what you are feeling right now. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul told Timothy this, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." Yes, indeed, we are living right in the middle of some terrible times in the last days. What did Paul say we are going to encounter in this world? People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. Treacherous, Paul continues, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. My friends, these are exactly what we read about in the news and actually watch on the news every day. As I was reading these words in the letter, I was thinking to myself, gosh, I cannot believe this. This is exactly what is happening in the world right now, every single day. I mean, just look at any website of some of the major news networks. This is exactly what you're going to see on the first page. Now, remember before COVID-19, when you were reading the same Bible verses, now somehow we just did not have the same impact as you are reading these words right now. Somehow, it is as if the pandemic has magnified all these crazy things that have been happening in this world. I mean, just think about all the unrest and conflicts over whether you should wear a mask or not. And those adjectives that Paul uses, boastful, proud, abusive, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, are all happening in places that we go to every day. Grocery stores, school, on the street, coffee shops, on an airplane, restaurants. This pandemic has revealed who we are and how we treat our fellow humans, and not to mention all the racial and economic inequalities that exist in this world. And the pictures are just plain ugly. And this is the world that we live in right now. After thousands of years of human development and evolution, we are not faring any better. But Paul's advice back then is just as wise and useful as in the past. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, continue. Have nothing to do with such people. Paul emphasized this similar point again in some other verses in the same letter. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes. Make holy, useful to the master, and prepare to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth. Paul advises Timothy and all of us today, stay away from the wrong crowd because you are shaped by the people that you hang out with. How you talk, how you think, how you act are deeply shaped by people that you hang around. Now you might say, I don't hang around with that sort of people. Hey, guess what? These days, you don't have to physically hang out with someone to be influenced by them. I mean, just go on, look at some of the comment sections on any web pages, news pages, or forums, and you will see what I mean. People engage in conversations. And if you spend more and more time reading those engaging conversations, you might have already been influenced by these hidden ideologies and behaviors without being aware of it. Listen to Paul's words again. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Paul tells us very clearly to stay away from these people. And this includes staying away from what they write and how they treat each other in the virtual world. Do not let their ideology and beliefs change you, especially when you are at your most vulnerable. Just think about this for a moment. You have been locked down for 6 months. You have lost the discipline of a Christian. You have lost the rhythm of a Christ follower. Before the pandemic, you have been attending Sunday worship service almost out of habit. But now, as the in-person worship service is no longer, you have now found some new freedom. You can sleep in on Sunday, enjoy a nice brunch before you sit in front of your laptop or computer and participate in the online service on YouTube. And that was going fine for a few weeks or even months. But then you soon realize that no one would know if I attend Sunday worship or not. My presence has become another just view counts on YouTube. And there's no one there to keep you accountable. So what do? You decide to disappear for a while or take a little break because no one will notice it. All people will see is just a small drop in the view count. In fact, without knowing it, you have just acquired the superpower of being invisible. Now you can come in and you can go during a church service without anyone knowing about it. In fact, before you know it, you have stopped attending church altogether. You have become part of the metrics and statistics I was talking about earlier. the 33% of Christians who have stopped attending Sunday service or even have left church altogether. And this is extremely alarming. And if you are still listening to me right now, you are probably thinking this. Is there anything that can be done? And Paul is saying to you this morning, I'm glad that you have asked. You see, what Paul is telling us is that it is not enough to just stay away. Sitting at home, trying to isolate from the influence of this world and staying away from all the bad influence and to be passive is not enough. Christians, you ought to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. What Paul is telling us here is it's not enough just to flee, just to get away. What we need to do, according to Paul, is to pursue. To pursue requires you to actively participate. You need to get off your comfortable chair and to actively seek out. And pay attention to the use of the word pursue, which means to run after, to chase, as if you are hunting something, as if you were in a war, which gives a sense of strong urgency. We are urged to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Those are the core values of being a Christ follower, which you might have neglected for a while already. I mean, with all the unjust and unrighteous things that are happening in the world right now, it is hard to believe that there is still a righteous God. When everything around you is failing and crumbling, and the promise of a vaccine seems to be more and more uncertain, it is hard to have sustained faith in a God who will come through with his promises. And it is hard to talk about loving each other and keeping peace when there is so much anger, mistrust in our society and the world. But the key is what Paul is going to say next. And this is really important. Paul did not tell Timothy to just go along on this journey. Paul told Timothy to go along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Hey, Timothy, pursue these in good company. Yes, other disciples of Jesus, and be part of a mutually strengthening fellowship. Not alone, but to go along. To go along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The pursuit of the core of Christian righteousness, faith, love, and peace is not to be done alone, but along with other believers. Connection with a fellowship of believers is essential because when times are tough, just like what we are facing right now, is absolutely essential. Why do you think it's so important to pursue in a community rather than going it alone? Allow me to give you an analogy. During summer times, one of the favorite activities for most of us is perhaps to have a barbecue party. It is fun, it is delicious, even though the food is really oily and unhealthy, but I'm not really here to talk about the food. Many of you have probably used a propane tank to heat your barbecue. Or perhaps some of you may have seen or used barbecue that used the conventional good old charcoals. I mean, the food that you cook tastes so much better when you use a charcoal. Now, imagine you have already have a good flame of charcoals going. And what do you think is going to happen if you take one of these pieces of charcoal out of this fire pit and put it aside on its own? That piece of charcoal is going to cool so quickly, and very soon it will become useless because it can no longer sustain the heat on its own. An isolated Christian is just like a lump of burning charcoal that is removed from the fire. It will cool down very quickly and lost its use. And perhaps some of you has been just like that. You have been struggling on your own. Perhaps you are already given up and decided to surrender already. Perhaps this is going to be the last time you're going to participate in any worship service. Perhaps you already decided to quit your small group, to quit your fellowship. And after being locked up for so many months, you felt out of touch. You are saying to yourself, what is the point? What is the point? I'm so sick and tired of all this. I will take a long break. I will wait until the vaccine is out, when everything's back to normal. Then I will get back on track. But have you thought about the fact that by that time, the fire inside of you might have already been gone? Long gone. And you might even have left your faith altogether. Guys, this pandemic has been tearing you and the church and other believers apart. This is not the time to go on your own. This is not the time to give up all the hard work just because you have encountered some difficulties. Fight on. You need to keep pursuing and you keep pushing until you have a breakthrough. So now it is more important than ever that you belong to a group of faithful Christians. Just last week, Pastor Carson reminded us to be a good soldier. And as Christians, we are well equipped as soldiers to face adversity. It is part of our core values because our Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ, has faced adversity and he fought and he won. No soldiers fight a war alone. One soldier is not going to win the battle because there's no one to watch your back. There's no one to back you up should you need help and support deep inside the enemy lines. Even superheroes need a team to support each other. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any Avengers, there wouldn't be any Justice League. We are in the middle of a war right now. And when soldiers join forces, they become an army. And that is why you need to stay in a community, especially in a fellowship or a small group. From the very beginning, Koinonia has been built on a small group ministry. So if you have ever considered joining a small group, this is the perfect time to do it. Don't wait. There's urgency to join a group right now. Be part of a group with a specific purpose, and that is to continue to grow and to be more like Christ in a Christ-centered community. What you need is not another online social club or another virtual game room. What you need right now is someone who will continue to support you even when you want to give up. You need someone that will not let you go no matter what. And you have probably heard this motto before. Leave no one behind. Leave no one behind. This is one of the core pillars of an army. Every soldier take this vow that they will not leave a comrade behind on the battlefield no matter what. In a way, this is how we build our small group ministry. Someone who is there to look you right into the eyes when you fell down in the times of need. Hey, soldier, look at me. Don't you dare to let go. Stay with me. I'm going to get you out of here and we are going home. When you look through history, churches have faced many, many challenges. But yet, churches not yet just survive. The church thrive. because Christians have stuck together through all those tough times. Only in a church community where you will be able to survive one of the most trying times of modern human history. And it is happening right now. Don't get me wrong. I never said this is going to be easy. In fact, being a small group community requires commitment. It requires discipline. It requires you to be vulnerable. In fact, it requires you to be faithful, not just faithful to your fellow soldiers, but more importantly, faithful to Jesus, your commander-in-chief. So please, Christians, fight for your life right now. Don't be part of the tragic statistics of the 33% or the 50% who have already left church. I will guarantee you, if we stick together through this, we can bend the curve back down. Perhaps we can all go together deep into the enemy lines and bring back those who are wounded and hurt back to safety. Let me close with this. Not alone, but to go along with other believers to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Would you join this fight? Would you persevere? Would you continue to fight on the battlefield that is happening all around us to bring righteousness, faith, love, and peace back to this world?
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none besides you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Heart and lead me in your love.
You fill our hearts with your love so that we can learn how to love one another. Fill our hearts with your love so that we can love this community. We can love our brothers and sisters. And God, especially I want to ask that you bless the small groups that we have, the ICOS. I remember the English group, the college group, and the couple of youth groups. God, I ask that you bless them with your love. May your love be abundant in these groups so that they can love one another. And God, I pray that this love doesn't just stop within their group time. God, I pray that this love extends past their ICOS time, past their small group time. And God, I also ask that this love doesn't just be stuck within that group, but also it goes out of that group. And more importantly, God, I pray that this love that you give them can also be directed upwards back to you. That they can pursue you as a group together. Just like a bunch of athletes running this marathon, this is going to be small groups and small groups running in love towards you. Running in love with people around them and running in love with people that are not yet in the group. So God, I pray that this love will dwell in these small groups so that this church may be known for its unity, known for its community, even in the times where people are separated. So God, we bless our small groups. We bless this church to be a unified church, to be a loving church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Dear brother and sister, it has been over 6 months since we have met online on Sunday since March. While we are actively planning for the reopening of Sunday service in the near future, I would like to encourage you to get connected with us by being a part of our small group ministry called Oikos. Oikos is a New Testament Greek word that means family or household. It is the name we give for our small group ministry at Koinonia. Oikos provide a setting where brother and sister can build relationship with each other and with God. And currently, our Oikos in the English ministry are divided into the following groups. Our adult Oikos meet every Monday evening. We have started weekly Bible study on the book of Ephesians. And later in December, we will launch a book study on a very inspiring book about how Christian faith can make sense among the skeptic in the urban setting. Our college Oikos meet every Saturday evening. For the past 6 months, the college Oikos has been studying different parts of the Bible, including the book of James. Currently, they are doing something even more challenging. They are doing topical study on the attributes of God. So if you are studying in college or university, I encourage you to join. Last but not least, if you are grade 8 to 12, I encourage you to consider to be a part of our youth Oikos. Currently, our youth Oikos, which meets every Friday evening, has different subdivisions, serving high school students of different age. So if you have not joined our Oikos yet, I really encourage you to consider being a part of our Oikos small group. And if you would like to know more information or you want to join us already, please visit Oikos page on our church website, english.mykc.ca. And before we conclude our worship, I would also like to share a few announcements with you. If it is your first time joining our church service, welcome. And in order for us to get to know you more and better, please take a moment to fill in our online Connect card by scanning the QR code on the screen. And if you have been attending our church service for a while, I encourage you to participate in the ministry of Koinonia through online offering. You can do the online offering at our church website at english.mykc.ca. And in order to help us plan for the next stage of Sunday worship, we have sent out a reopening survey to all Oikos members last week. If you haven't done so, please just take a few moments to complete the online survey. And just a reminder, today is the last day you can return the survey. Last Sunday, we shared about the different serving opportunity in our Sunday service production. Again, here are the different positions that you can join. Camera operator, audio operator, presentation, production assistant, and video editor. If you have a burden to serve at one of these positions, you can complete an online servant application by scanning the QR code on the screen. Finally, as we conclude our worship, please stand and let me bless you with the word of God from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. We'll see you next week.